I want to begin with the words of the Kedushas Levi. We know that this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bahar, introduces us to the mitzvah of Shemitah. And when it comes to Shemitah, the Torah tells us that the purpose of Shemitah is v'shav soha aretz Shabbos laHashem. We're told to make a Shemitah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Holy Berditchever, the Kedushas Levi, says that the Lashon of the Pasuk is very precise. He says, if we think about it, if I was a farmer in times when it was more common for Jewish people to be farmers, I don't know too many Jewish farmers these days. There certainly are many, but I don't know any personally. Anyone here a farmer by profession? Okay, but Vashav Sa'aretz Shabbos LaHashem. We know that every 7 years a farmer has to allow his field to rest. So the Kedushas Levi tells us the following from the Arizal. The Arizal writes in the Likutei Torah in Parshas Kisisa, in describing not the Shabbos of Shemitah, but the Shabbos that we celebrate each week, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually was the creator of Shabbos. That when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, the Jews were working very much all week, and it was getting to a point where it was actually diminishing returns. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro, I have a suggestion. If you let the Jews rest on Shabbos, you'll actually be able to get more out of them during the week. And Paro went for it. Paro actually bought into it. And as the Berditchever explains here, again based on the Arizal and the Torah, who brings this tradition, the suggestion of Moshe Rabbeinu was accepted. And when Klal Yisrael came to receive the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced them to the mitzvah of Shabbos, so Moshe Rabbeinu was very excited. Moshe said, oh, Shabbos, that was what I thought of in Mitzrayim. I was the creator of Shabbos. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, as Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu had his understanding of what Shabbos was about. Moshe introduced Shabbos as a very practical measure. If I rest one day a week, I'll be able to work better the other days of the week. That's true when it comes to building pyramids for Paro or building storehouses for Paro. And it's true for ourselves as well. Whatever I'm involved with in the 6 days of the week, I'll be more productive if I give myself a Shabbos. But Hashem says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us in Parshas Kisisa, Es Shabso Sai Tishmoru. I don't want you to keep Moshe Rabbeinu's Shabbos. I want you to keep my Shabbos. That you should keep Shabbos for the purpose of what? Of trying to fulfill the will of the Creator of the world. Don't just keep Shabbos for practical reasons. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, the same thing is true when it comes to Shemitah. On a very practical level, Shemitah makes a lot of sense. Ki derecha olam lachrosh sada shana echad ulahaniach bor shana bez. Any good farmer knows you have to rotate your fields in order to have maximum success from your fields. And therefore a person might say, the Torah is giving me practical agricultural advice. If I want to be a successful farmer, so I need to rotate my fields. I need to let the field rest. And therefore, says the Berditchever, the Torah reminds us, v'shav sa'aretz shabbos la'Hashem, the Shabbos of the field, the Shemitah, should not be about maximizing your agriculture output, but it should be about fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo tiyah shvisa machmas tova sa'aretz. Don't do it for the earth, but rather do it Shabbos la'Hashem. Machmas sivui Hashem yisbarach. Do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so. Ad kan, the words of Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, and many, many others have expressed a similar idea. It's a yesod in so many places in the Torah. To do the right thing, not only because of the possible benefits to you, or even to society, but to do it because Hashem said so. What's fascinating about this example is that if you look in the Rambam's Mora Nevuchim, the Rambam himself, in explaining the mitzvah of Shemitah, says that the purpose of Shemitah is to allow the land to rest, so that the land will not be sapped of its nutrients, and it'll be able to produce better in the coming year. Now, the Rambam wrote many things in the Mora Nevuchim that are controversial. Controversial in the sense that there were many who criticized the Rambam for making the Torah so logical, so realistic, so to speak, and taking some of the mystical dimension out of the Torah. And the Rambam did so, obviously, for those who are Navuch, for those who are, it's a guide to the perplexed, for those who have lost their way. The Rambam wanted to guide them back to a Torah they can believe in. But many, many are critical of the Rambam. The Akedas Yitzchak, in his commentary on Chumash, says, how could you write such a thing? How could the Rambam even say such a thing? The Torah is very clear, V'shav Sa'aretz Shabbos LaHashem. The purpose of Shemitah is what? is to give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way the Akedas Yitzchak asks the question is as follows. He says, just think about it for a second. So let's imagine now this fellow doesn't want to take, again, according to the Rambam, this is agricultural advice. This is a smart way to not destroy your fields. So says the Akedas Yitzchak, so this Jew doesn't follow the Torah. He decides, I don't want to maximize my fields. I want to plant in the Shemitah year. So he should be punished for that. He should be punished for not being a smart farmer. That the Torah should give him an onesh for what? For not taking this advice on how to maximize the output of his field. But my friends, part of the answer to the question is, right? Part of the answer to the Akedas Yitzchak is, a farmer has to realize that my field is not really my field. Like some of us learned together this past Thursday night when we discussed the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Was that this week? That was 2 weeks ago already. When we discussed the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Tein lo mishalo, to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu that which is his. When a Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael with the sense that this field belongs to me, and I can do whatever I want with it, I could use it in a way that's not advantageous for the field, so he's missing the fact that there's a sense of communal responsibility that a person has. There's an obligation on a Torah level, not only to listen to Hashem, like the Kedushas Levi said, to do the right thing because Hashem said so, but the Torah is telling you, in the mitzvah of Shemitah, you have to be a smart person. There's an obligation not to be a fool. We find later in the parasha the prohibition of Onaz Dvar. And it says, Velo sonu ish es am yiso. Do not deceive someone else. I can't rip someone off in business. I can't be misleading with my words. I have to be honest. I shouldn't fool another person. I shouldn't trick another person. Ona means deception. I can't be a person who tricks someone else into getting involved in a bad business deal. Rav Simcha Bunim of Pershischa, the Holy Rebbe of Pershischa, used to say that a chassid, we know, has to go lifnim mishur asadin. So if the din of the Torah is not to fool another person, so what is the lifnim mishur asadin? How does a chassid read such a pasuk? If the pashup shot in the pasuk is lo sonu isha sam yiso, don't deceive someone else. So what's the deeper understanding? A deeper understanding must be, says Rav Simcha Bunim, don't deceive yourself. Don't trick yourself. Don't fool yourself. Or maybe we can read it, don't make yourself a fool. The Torah is giving us advice, practical advice. Not only religious advice, not only do it because Hashem says so. But maybe when the Rambam says that, again, the Torah is giving us agricultural advice, and you're going to be punished if you don't follow that advice because you're violating a mitzvah of the Torah, maybe it's Hashem's way of saying, I want you to be smart. I want you not to act foolish. I want you to act responsibly. Rav Soloveitchik was once asked, and it's brought, Rav Shechter brings it in the Nefesh HaRav. He was asked about the practice, you know, when people practice karate, if people have a mentor in karate, so it's common practice that one bows to, you do some type of bow as a sign of giving honor to a person who's your mentor, who's your teacher. Right? It's certainly not idol worship. So Rav Soloveitchik was asked one time, is it usur al pi Torah to bow to your karate teacher? Rav Aviner discusses this in his Shilas and Chuvos as well. Is there a prohibition of bowing to your sensei? So Rav Soloveitchik said it's usur. So they said, why? Why is it usur? Rav Soloveitchik said, and it's the answer itself requires a hesber. Rav Soloveitchik said it's like a weird custom. It's a foolish and strange thing to do, and the Torah doesn't want you to do foolish and strange things. So you can say, well, what's foolish and strange about it? It's a sign of respect. Maybe in America you shake hands once upon a time, right? And when you stand before your sensei who's teaching you karate techniques, you give a bow as a sign of respect. Rav Soloveitchik said, what's the source for that? It's a strange thing. The Torah doesn't want you to do strange things. Every aveira that we do is a strange thing. When a person does an aveira, says the Gemara in Sota, ein adam over aveira, elam ki nichlas bo ruach shtus, there's a spirit of foolishness that enters a person when you do an Aveira. So therefore the Torah, by telling us not to do Aveiras, is also telling us, don't be foolish. Be responsible. There's responsibility that's incumbent upon a Jewish person. And again, maybe that's sort of a defense of the Rambam. Why would the Rambam say, if the Pasuk is so clear that Shemitah is a Shabbos LaHashem, so why does the Rambam take away that dimension and say, no, it's just agricultural advice. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's advice is advice that we take seriously. And we respect it in a deep way. Again, I speak about this again tonight because as the weeks drag on, It's very, very hard. And I see my block was hopping today with swarms of kids riding bikes together. And it's not easy for them. And I don't blame the children, and I don't even blame the parents. But it's very hard to maintain these practices of social distancing and just being safe and being responsible for a long period of time. It's burdensome. You know, they could have had school on their bikes today. There were so many kids. You had a classroom of kids on my block just riding around the neighborhood. In addition to not driving, not riding in a safe fashion. Right? But it's hard. It's a difficult thing. It's the nature of a person to want to do what I want because I want. But part of what we're learning from this halacha of Shemitah is that your field is not yours to do whatever you want. If the responsible thing to do with the field is to rotate the fields, is to allow it to rest, then it's not just good advice that's optional. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, don't be a fool. This is the right way to live your life. So when the Torah places these higher level demands on Pikuach Nefesh, and says that we have to go to the nth degree to make sure that we're safe. And now we hear in the news that this business is opening up, and this is opening up, and that is opening up. And we're getting agitated. We're thinking, okay, if all these things can open up, so when can we open up the shul? When can we start the minyanim? But maybe, again, if the Torah says pikuach nefesh is the highest order, it's not advice. It's something we have to be mevatel ourselves to. We're finishing up the week of Hod. Hod means submissiveness. To surrender to the advice of the Torah. Not to deceive ourselves, not to be foolish, lo sonu isha sami so, not to trick someone else, and not to be a fool towards oneself. I want to learn together a little piece from Rav Shimshon Pinkus from this past week's Parsha. And again, we touched on it really at the beginning of this whole pandemic when we learned Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's famous piece on Badad Yeshev, for those who were there, when we learned that together, the challenge of being quarantined. And he begins, Rav Shimshon Pinkus in his Tiferes Torah, begins with the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, where the Rambam says a very interesting halacha, that the Kohen Gadol has a bias muchan b'mikdash, the Kohen Gadol's home is established in the Mikdash, v'hin hanikreis lishchas Kohen Gadol, this is what we know from the Mishnayos as the Kohen Gadol's chamber, u'chvodo v'tifarto, she'ayoshev v'mikdash kol hayom. And it's the kavod, and it's the tiferes of the Kohen Gadol that he remains in that place all day. V'lo yetzei el abeiso bilvad b'layla osha oshtayim bayom. That the Kohen Gadol has his place where he spends, 95% of his time. V'ya abeiso b'yushalayim v'ein ozaz misham. And not only does he have those quarters, his special inner chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, but he's never allowed to leave Yushalayim. And there's a lot written about this Rambam. What's the source for this Rambam? How does the Rambam know that to be true? Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Yadua b'teva ha'olam. We know that it's the nature of a world. Shebeis soar hu onesh v'saval gadol la'adam. Being held in captivity, being placed in jail, being denied the basic human freedom to move about is very, very difficult. It's a very, very difficult thing. Va'afilu em yitnu lo sham kol ma'adane olam. And if you're stuck in jail and you were fed gourmet meals every day, you'd say, I'd rather be a free person, being able to move as I see fit, to roam the streets, to go where I want, and to eat bread and water, than to sit in jail and to be able to order the finest foods. Because being held in captivity is a very, very painful experience. The inability to move about freely is a very, very painful experience. And he quotes that famous passage from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musar, about how David HaMelech commanded his son Shlomo, as a way of getting revenge on Shimi ben Gera, to quarantine him in Yerushalayim. And Shimi ben Gera couldn't take it. And eventually he broke the rules. He left his safe space, and he was put to death for it. Here he was. He was stuck in Yerushalayim. But even in Yerushalayim, when you feel stuck, it's a very painful experience. And then Rav Shimshon Pinkus quotes something that's really remarkable. If anyone heard Rav Moshe Weinberger's Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, he spoke about this Yisod as well. I think he got it maybe from a different source, but I found this past Shabbos that Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, Kama'at, what Rav Weinberger was discussing then. And he quotes an amazing Gemara in Maseches Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga describes about Adam HaRishon, that Adam HaRishon was Misof HaOlam Va'ad Sofo. That Adam HaRishon stretched from one end of the world, Chagiga Daf Yud Aleph, to the other end of the world. What's the idea that Adam HaRishon stretched from one end of the world to the other end of the world? And the Gemara debates, was Adam Arishon, you know, the world, the other world in length, the horizontal expanse of the world? Was Adam Arishon the height of the world from the ground to the heights of heaven? One opinion is that maybe it's one and the same, that the distance from, so to speak, east to west is the same as up and down, north to south, so to speak. Explains Rav Shimshon Pinkus in Parshas Emor. V'inei tira b'teva, sheyesh la'adam hana gedola linsoa l'merchakim. It is human nature. We love to travel. We like to see different places. It's part of the way that Hashem made Adam Arishon. What does it mean Adam Arishon was from one end of the world to the other end of the world? We also like to go from one end of the world to the other end of the world. My wife and I were talking for half a second today. We were standing outside. We were like, when this is over, like, where should we go? You know? We had this chus last summer to, I was invited to be on a program in Wyoming. It was so gewaldic to see a part of the world we had never seen before, a beautiful part of this country. I have this wacky idea in my head. I want to go to Iceland. I'm not sure where I got this idea. I have a feeling that it's a country that has a sheiches to Hisbodilis and Tfila, whatever my shtick is with Iceland. Right? So the nature of a person, I want to see places. I want to go places. I'd like to just be able to walk down the block without being nervous that I'm violating some rabbinic recommendation or order or some government mandate or some halacha, God forbid. Right? So it's the nature of a person that I want to go free. I like to move about. Sometimes, and it's so true, I remember an experience when our oldest was just a little baby and I couldn't get her to stop crying, and I'm sure many parents out there can relate to this. You put your child in the car and you drive around and all of a sudden the baby's calm. Because there's something about movement, being able to move, that just, it's something that fits with the human condition. It settles the soul. And when I can't move, when I can't go where I'd like to go, and I feel trapped and I feel stuck, it becomes very, very painful. But Rav Shimshon Pinkus describes that Adam Rishon, on the one hand, was horizontal, was the expanse of the universe horizontally, but Adam Rishon also was, so to speak, meha'aretz ad hashamayim. Which means that there are people who satisfy that human desire for movement by moving horizontally, by trying to see the world and going places. That's one way to feel a sense of accomplishment, that I've been to so many places. Look at my passport, it's stamped with so many different countries. But says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, there's another way. There's another Marishan who goes from the Aretz Ad HaShamayim. And says Rav Pinkus, what is the greatness of the Kohen Gadol? The greatness of the Kohen Gadol, going back to the words of the Rambam, is that the Kohen Gadol sat in his chamber, the Lishchas Kohen Gadol in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Rambam says, Uchvodo v'tif arto, and he loved being there. Because the Kohen Gadol didn't feel stifled by that, because he knew this is where Hashem wants me to be. And he was happy to be there. And he understood that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's recommendation, and that's the place to be. He felt free in that place, unlike most people. Says the Rambam, the Kohen Gadol can't leave Yerushalayim, but he embraces that. He sees it as an opportunity. If you look in Rashi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chaf Ches, on the line where the Gemara says Mitzvos Lav Lahenos Nitnu, the mitzvos were not given to us for our pleasure. Again, going back to the Berditchera that we started with, you might say Shemitah makes a lot of sense. It's good for us. Shabbos, I like to relax. It's good for me. That's not what it's about. It's not about being able to relax. It's not about being able to have a more successful crop in the following year. V'shav sa'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem, says the Berditchever. It's because Hashem commanded it. But the Rambam says, but it is about the success of your field. Right? So why should I be punished if I choose to opt out? But the answer is, the Torah says, don't be a fool. You got to do the right thing because it's the right thing. Because Hashem says so, and if Hashem says so, it's the right thing. And to embrace whatever that responsibility is, that Torah responsibility that is placed upon us. Says Rashi on the Gemara's comment, mitzvos are not for our pleasure. Says Rashi, lav lahenos nitnu li Yisrael lios kiyumam lahem hana. Mitzvos were not given to the Jewish people to give us enjoyment. Ela la'ol al tzavarehem nitnu. It was given to us as a yoke, as an ol, which is worn on our necks. There was a tzaddik, Rav Aaron Mendel of Radzmin. And he says, a yoke is not worn on one's neck. A yoke is worn, if you ever saw an animal, right, dragging a plow, it's worn on its shoulders. What do you wear on a neck? A beautiful necklace. Says the tzaddik, says the Rebbe from Radzmin, the mitzvos are supposed to be an ol al tzavarehem. Yes, a mitzvah sometimes feels like a burden, but if you understand that this is what Hashem wants, and even if you'll say, but it's just a practical recommendation, but it's a mitzvah. It's a responsibility. And therefore you should wear it proudly. Yes, it's an ol, it's a burden. It can be burdensome, it's a responsibility. But wear al tzavarehem, wear it proudly like a necklace. Take pride in it. Don't be frustrated by it. Understand that you're doing the right thing. Again, whether it's just a complete bittul to Hashem, Shabbos la Hashem, Shavas Haaretz, Shabbos la Hashem, a surrender to Hashem, or even if you get it and you say, you know what, it actually makes sense to let my field rest, but I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to do the right thing for my field and to take responsibility and to make the world a safe place. And even though it's the nature of a person sometimes to reject being controlled, but turn that responsibility into a necklace that can be worn proudly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength. It's not easy. Again, as the weeks drag on, and especially for the kids, there were so many kids. It was such a beautiful day. There were so many kids out on the streets today. Right? But it's our job as parents and as adults, and for ourselves as well. I'm sure some people saw that letter that was sent out by a shul of a shul that was criticizing some of its members that decided to have a rebellious minion. And they came out very, very harsh and very, very strong. And you know what? I say to them, Kol HaKavod. We have to do it because we have to have a bittul to our Rabbanim and to our Talmidei Chachamim and to our medical experts. And even our understanding of whatever it is that we understand, we have to do the right thing because it's the right thing. The Torah wants us to be smart people. The Torah doesn't want us to deceive ourselves and doesn't want us to deceive anyone else. The Torah wants us to go to the nth degree to avoid doing something irresponsible or something dangerous, God forbid. So again, I'm just trying to be machazik. I know it's not an easy thing, but it should bear a lot of fruits. Our bittul to Hashem and our commitment to doing the right thing, even when we know that not everyone's playing by the rules, should be something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is proud of us. Hashem says, good, I want to have a smart and responsible people. That's who I want my Klal Yisrael to be. So Mirtz Hashem, we should have the strength to continue doing the right thing and doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll see the end of this Sarah very, very soon. Thank you all very much. Have a wonderful night.